Blog Talk Radio.
Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yes, this is an odd time. I'm doing this show during the daytime. Yes, in the daylight hours. Would you believe it? I got people, I guess, who are working during the day that want to talk during the daytime during their working hours. Mine vary. I don't care. I could stay up till all hours. Right, it's like 1:30. Yes, 1:30 in the afternoon. It's halfway through all my children, and I'm not watching it. Something surpasses it, because there's a Monk marathon going on TV right now that started early this morning, which is why now I'm so tired, because I've been staring at the boob tube since the early morning hours. Oh, God. Well, I'm going to see the show Lend Me No Tenor next week, which stars Monk. Well, not really Monk. I mean, but I have a feeling he's sort of playing the same type of character. Shalhoub. Tony Shalhoub. Anyway, so meantime, so what we're going to have today, I didn't realize this, that if you are lactose intolerant, you can have cheese. Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, Cabot Creamery is going to call and tell us all about, I guess, how you make the cheeses, the variety of cheeses, and why you can have, why you can have it lactose intolerant. You probably just heard, mail truck. It's my email reminding me that my show is going to start in 5 minutes. A little late, huh? Okay. And then also ketubas. And that has nothing to do with not an instrument that you blow or anything like that. Michael Shapiro will call in and tell us exactly what they are, the origin, et cetera, et cetera. And, before I tell you what's been happening, all right, yeah, I'll tell you afterwards. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. Yes, I just finished the last of the brownies that I had. But you can get them, and I'll still get them, at brownies.com. And right now they're having a sale. It's Mother's Day sale. Check it out. You could probably maybe get in on it by just before the weekend, since the Mom's Day is coming up this weekend. Yeah. Well, we'll also tell you what else is coming up this weekend when Cabot Creamery talks to us. In the meantime, I want to talk about, I know it's been a while, I know, it's since I was on the radio, and things have been happening. So I want to, like, get to this, and the only way I can, thank goodness for blogs, really. That's the only way I could deal with stuff that, you know, to remember. Okay, so let's go back to, what's this? What's the food here? Okay. So, let's say there was a Sharks game, and I went to a Malaysian restaurant called Sentosa, Malaysian restaurant in downtown Flushing, as I call it, Flushing, because it has all this wonderful Asian cuisine there, but really much better than Chinatown. I wouldn't even bother with the Chinatown in Manhattan anymore. Now, so I went to this place, Sentosa, and on my blog I have pictures of the food that I had. So, well, Sentosa, it's located on 39-07 Prince Street. It's a block away from the Main Street subway. And so I started having, I had Malaysian iced tea, and you know, in Asian iced teas and the iced coffees, they tend to use either condensed milk. Yeah, condensed milk a lot. It's sweetened that way. And then I had this thing, longan iced drink. And longan is a fruit. So it was a nice ice drink, which I needed because there would be some spicy things coming up. Although that's not really the right thing to have, because if you're having something spicy, you should have like milk or cream to counteract the spice. That's the only thing that will really do it. And I said to them, I also want, you know, I told Mile, they also like, I don't know if Malaysian cuisine cooks with garlic or has a lot of garlic, but I just said, please nix on the garlic. I'm just seems to bother me later. But anyway, I could be bothering other people later, too. So appetizer, I had this thing, roti. Well, oh, Malaysian cuisine, let me first tell you, it's a combination of, let's see, it's Chinese, Indian, and Malay. So you'll find that's the influences on the food. So the first thing I had was roti canai, or canai. It was an Indian pancake with a Malaysian influence. It's a really, really thin, crispy pancake. And then you take the piece, take a piece of the pancake in your hand, and you dip it in a sauce that has like has curry chicken and potato. And you soak up the sauce, and then eat the rest. And it was really, really good. Then I had satay tofu. That's the second appetizer. And it's like two crispy fried tofu cakes stuffed with cucumber and bean sprouts and served with a peanut sauce. And if you don't like tofu, this is a good one for those who don't like tofu, because you wouldn't get that it's tofu. Because I guess the way it must be a drier tofu that's fried, so. Then I decided to have tom yum soup, which is more of a Thai kind of thing. And what it is a seafood lemongrass soup. That's what their version is. Yes, I can tolerate the spiciness of the chili paste because the hot, so to speak, hits the back of my throat. And so I can get used to it enough to enjoy, like, the rest of the soup. So, and in there was lemongrass, lime, mushrooms. And they use shrimp, squid, and scallop. Now, usually if I have a Thai restaurant, they use shrimp. So, and I thought that using squid and scallops also adds to the flavor of the soup as well. Really, really tasty. Everything's tasty. Everything was delicious. What can I tell you? There wasn't anything that I didn't like. That's the, you know, usually it's something like, oh, well, you know, I won't have it again. So then I had Haianese chicken. What they do, they steam parts of the chicken, and then they serve it with a chef's special soy sauce with cucumbers underneath it. I think I might try this at home. I brought Esther with me. Yes, I did. She was a little bit shocked because she thought it might have been one of her relatives. What can I do? Anyway, then I had volcano spare ribs. Didn't spew from Iceland, no. And it wasn't, spicy hot or anything. But the ribs, they're deep fried, but it's not like obviously deep fried, and they're very, very tender. And then they're cooked in a barbecue sauce that the chef concocts. And that sauce, the chef needs to bottle the stuff and sell it. And then the next thing, I had beef rendang. It was a really, really extremely tender beef with coconut milk, chilies, and spices. Although mine wasn't really spicy. And it's in a Malaysian dry curry sauce that's like cooked over low heat. I think I'm making myself hungry. Well, anyway, seafood. I had Assam fish skate. Well, I don't know if you've had skate before. They use a skate wing. And skate wings are really good. If you're not a fish person, it's kind of like has a kind of texture of like crab meat kind of thing. You really wouldn't get it's fish. And skate wing, they don't have the wing doesn't have it's cartilage. That it's on, so they don't have the needles. I'm so tired. I'm so freaking tired. I think you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and it's done in a stew. And okay, now it's time for desserts. I had coconut pudding. So with coconut juice, coconut milk, and coconut. That serves in a coconut. And if you don't like coconut, you're not going to like this one, that's for sure. The meat, they use a young coconut, and the meat is really, really tender. So it's nice to, like, scoop up afterwards. On the sides there. And finally, I had, Pulut Hitam. It's a black sticky rice with coconut milk. It's kind of like a loose rice pudding. Basically it's like rice, coconut milk, and sugar. And I had to take home leftovers. So I know there's a big thing right now going on with Malaysian food. Yeah. Okay. So, and let's go to the next thing here. Okay. Let's go back here. Oh, that's probably because I didn't sign in. I'll tell you what. I'll get to this. Get to the next thing. Because Mother's Day's coming up. Let's play.
Be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, may be the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dream. I reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
Sharing. Oh my God, forget time sharing in Manhattan. There's this place called Manhattan Club. And they boast, I've only been the only time share in Manhattan, which is not true. That's what they boast. I'm not sure if there is any more. I remember there was one other place, which just, you know, might not be happening, but that's okay. Anyway, so I got this call from this guy Phil. You know, in the marketing department. So, and he offers, if I go to look at it, either Broadway tickets, dinner, or a $100 Visa card, gift card, Visa card. Yeah, you know. So I agree, and I said that they sent me a letter for the date that I chose. So the weekend went by, no letter. I get no. I understand the letter specifically says that you must present the letter in order to get the gift. So I called saying I didn't receive the letter and I wanted to reschedule. So this next person, Jose, says he would make it a point to send a letter on Wednesday for my Friday appointment. So the letter never comes, and so I, you know, kind of waited the weekend. I didn't even bother calling, so I call on Monday to reschedule. And they tell me, well, this letter's coming all the way from Philadelphia, all the way. The first letter never came, by the way. Now, that's really far away from New York City, you know. Well, but, you know, so they finally agreed to give me an appointment and note that I would not have a letter to hand in. They finally did that because I was pressing them on their keeping their agreements here. You know, I don't like playing games. Let them play games. I'll play games too. Okay, now they did try to email me the letter, but my print is not doing so well, so I wanted them to do their job. Okay, so appointment. I made the appointment for 3 p.m. and it had some problems, the train problem, so I didn't arrive there till like about 3:30. Well, you had to hear the arguments going for not giving me a tour due to, it, like they said, nobody was available. It was too late. And I really went back and forth. I, you know, whatever. And I was really relentless. And that since I traveled to Man, they were the ones who solicited me in the first place. Well, they finally found somebody. Okay. So I listened to timeshare spiel, you know, going the whole thing involving this thing called point systems. And by the way, I own timeshare, so I know enough about timeshare. But not, I don't do things that involve this thing with point systems. Okay, So the woman kept asking me if I had questions, and I didn't. I didn't. She really bothered, you know. I got it. You know, she asked me, do you have a question? No. It's like she looks at me like she's waiting, you know. Okay, so we're finally ready to see a timeshare unit, okay? And she tells me the maintenance fee. This is like for 1 week. The maintenance fee is $2,000. That's the maintenance fee is for a week at this Manhattan Club. Okay, so now, it gets worse. Okay, now I get to see a unit. Now the unit, it looks like a fancy-ish like hotel room with a bath and a half, a bedroom, living room, and a semi-kitchen. That means like there's a small refrigerator and a microwave, so you really can't cook there, you know, in this unit. Now we go to the price of buying the week of this one-bedroom unit. Would you believe $33,995? In other words, if I were to buy and spend 7 nights at this hotel for the next 10 years, I would be paying $44,000. Now you do the math. No one says the maintenance fee will, and no one says the maintenance fee will stay the same. Now, okay. The selling point is that I could trade points and get more vacation elsewhere. They tried to explain how I could do this. I really didn't care. In 1982, I purchased a one-bedroom unit with a bath and a half and a full kitchen in Provincetown for $4,100. And I have now ceased to complain that the maintenance fee has gone up to $535. Now, after Judy did her thing, oh, that was her name, Judy, she summoned the manager because I said, no, you know, I'm not interested. Now she summons the manager to do his thing. You know, we always get that. So I still declined. Now the woman was doing her utmost to get me to put down a deposit to think about it. Because I said, I need to think about it. So she wanted me to put a deposit to think about it. And I said that I didn't want to. And she says to me that I'd be stupid to pay more if I decided later on. I mean, they always do things like this with the timeshare. And they were also trying to explain to me, this is a weird thing. Like they were trying to say, oh, with the 2,000, think of it as blah, 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 blah per night or something. And I'm looking, the 2,000, that's the maintenance fee. And I look at them and I said, well, what happens to the other $34,000 that you're paying for this? It's like, oh, that doesn't count. I mean, okay. So it turns out they didn't have the $100 Visa card. But they handed me a check for $100. Well, so far it didn't bounce. I don't know. And as for the letter, by the way, you know, it's the old, the check is in the mail. So in case you're interested, I don't say don't buy timeshare. I would never say don't buy. I think it's really great if you want to travel. And the best thing to do is go for a resale. Go for a resale of timeshare, or that you go to a timeshare and there's foreclosures. Just like poke your head into the place and say, tell me you're interested in a foreclosure. You'll be surprised how less it is, or how little it is to buy the timeshare. And pay cash. They'll always, you know, they do great by taking money off because you paid cash. That's what has been going on. And not only that.
Oh, are you ready for some football?
Oh, yeah. Well, I will get into this whole thing about what's coming up this weekend, but the Sharks are 4-0 right now. Yeah, 4-0. Whoa. This is going to be something else. I'm so looking forward to the season. It's a lot of fun. A lot of stuff going on. They're doing quite well. And I missed again. They had played in New Jersey. And Andrea Douglas, the owner, got suited up. because she thought she might be kicking. She might be doing kicking now. Okay, Andrew's, she's not young anymore. But that would have been great. I would love to see how old she was. Okay, she's going to be, she would just turn 51. And she, we would have all got a kick out of her doing it. As it turned out, she didn't do it. Because I demanded photos in case she did, although I would have just liked photos of her being suited up, you know. Maybe I can get that. I think that's pretty cool. Who knows? Hey, maybe there's no way I would ever play football. I should though. What I should do is get suited up just for the heck of it, you know? Why not? Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, silly me. And I also went to Sweden Tourism event. The food was good. Here we go back with the food again. But the food was very good there. And what I'm hoping to do is see if I can get them to sponsor me at the end of June, when the Women's International Tackle Football Tournament, it's the IFAF, International Federal Association of Football, I think, the IFAF, between maybe IFAF and USA Football, that can sponsor my trip. It's difficult to, to Sweden and hanging out and the hotel, and I hear my cat. My cat coming in here? It's one of my cats. One of my cats is suddenly deciding he likes to hear himself meow. It's weird, you know. Before, it's interesting, as kittens, they're now 1 year old, and as kittens, it was a little mew kind of thing, or peeper, whatever. And the two of them don't meow much, But this one now is suddenly wanting to say words or hear himself talk, or I'm not sure what. But anyway, let's, what do I have here? What? But it was delicious. She just ran out because Eunice must have told Esther about the thing I said about the chicken. That what must have been what's going on. I'm telling you, I can't. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to start to talk about Cabot Creamery. I got them on the air now, don't I?
Yes, you do.
The first thing I want you to explain is how do you take the lactose? And I thought it's automatically in there.
You asked the right person. I'm Candace Theroux.
Yeah.
And my official title is Lifestyle Commentator and Favorite Foodie.
Oh!
So I get to field a lot of these questions, and the lactose one is one we get all the time. But Merle,
you're getting it again.
I'm sorry?
And you're getting it again.
Yeah, well, it's perfect. I love getting this question because the answer is one everybody should know. Here's the fact. Lactose kind of disappears within 3 or 4 weeks of aging cheese. So virtually all aged cheeses are lactose-free, but all Cabot cheeses are 100% lactose-free.
Does that mean that all cheeses that are aged are lactose-free?
Pretty much. There are traces of lactose in some, but the aging, 3 to 4 weeks is what it takes for the major carbohydrate in cheese, which is lactose, to disappear. So no matter how much you eat, if you're eating aged cheese, especially Cabot, because we know for a fact that we have 0 grams of lactose in all our cheeses.
Okay, then I'm going to ask even a bigger question.
Sure.
What the hell is lactose anyway?
Well, it's an enzyme that bodies digest naturally, but studies have shown up to 25% of the population doesn't have an enzyme in their own bodies called lactase. And lactase is what helps the body break down lactose and use it. So the people who don't have this enzyme, lactase, can't break it down, and therefore they get upset stomachs. So that's the deal with that.
Okay.
And I understand you're going to have a pretty big Saturday coming up.
Oh, goodness gracious, we're having a big Saturday. But before we even get to the Saturday event, because I just finished mentioning that the Sharks are 4-0 right now.
That's so exciting. I went on the website. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. what I want to get into is how these cheeses are made, and like what's the difference in for instance, when you have a Monterey Jack or a Colby or a cheddar. And I mean, they're all sort of the same. So what makes them all different? Well, first, let's start is how.
Well, it's a really interesting and kind of a scientific process, and I feel the same way I feel about like hamburgers. I want to know in theory, but in practice, I'm not sure I want to know the details. But for instance, cheddar, and cheddar is really our major product, though we do have some Monterey Jack, and Pepper Jack, But the cheddar is made and aged in Cabot, Vermont, it's a very impressive facility with a lot of scientists, and everybody wears white lab coats, and because it makes it so, you know, they're so intent on retaining the quality and the integrity of how the cheese is made. But different things are added. For instance, our cheeses, not only do we have added flavors like jalapeno or chipotle, which are added in the process of making the cheese, but we also have rubbed cheeses, which have an herb rub on the outside. Those are pretty spectacular, too. And if anybody wants to find out about any of these cheeses, they can go to our website, which is www.cabotcheese.coop. And because we are a cooperative, we are 100% owned by the 1,200-plus farm families that participate in the Cabot Co-op. So
in other words, these people, they're sending you the milk.
They send the milk to Cabot, Vermont, where it is turned into cheese. And then 100% of the profits go back to the farm families. Almost a third of all the dairy farms in New England and upstate New York are part of the Cabot Creamery Cooperative. So when you're buying Cabot cheese, you're supporting local farmers, local family farms. So it's a pretty incredible place to work. You know, I love working for the farmers because I know that this is really helping them stay alive and stay viable. Dairy farmers right now are getting the same prices for their milk that they did in 1979. So it makes it really hard to be a dairy farmer,
yeah,
in addition to the work of taking care of cows 365 days a year. But because they're members of the cooperative, that's very helpful to them because, as I said, all the profits go back to the farmers.
Cool.
Yeah.
So in terms of, like, how it's made, I mean, what's the basic way that the cheese is made? That, let's just say, cheddar cheese, because that's what you're known for.
Yeah. I'm fairly new to Cabot, so I don't know that I can give the answer to that question you know, I'm not sure I can explain step by step what the process is.
I've made mozzarella. Have you ever made mozzarella?
I haven't. That's pretty cool. So, what did you do to make the mozzarella?
Well, this is really interesting because I have someone in the neighborhood, and they make mozzarella like 2-3 times a day. I think, oh, that's so great.
2-3 times a day?
2-3 times a day, fresh mozzarella.
Wow.
And the store has been open for many, many years, and it's not even it's a pasta store, and they make mozzarella. And there was a point that I wanted to find out how it was made, and I could either buy the fresh mozzarella, but he would also sell me, if I wanted, the milk curd.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until and I said to him, oh, do you get the milk curd, like, from, because a lot of places, they get it from, like, Polio.
Right.
Okay. And he said, oh, no, he says he gets this. He gets everything from a farmer in upstate New York, dairy farmer. And I just, you know, and I'm still content. And I also see that he's got fresh ricotta cheese, too. And I'm not even, you know, I'm just saying this is really great to be able to have this. And then I finally got the conversation with him, and he finally said, oh, no, we get the milk from the farmer.
Yeah.
He actually makes the whole thing from scratch.
Uh-huh.
So he's doing what he needs to do to make the curd, and then he takes the whey to make the ricotta cheese.
Right, and that's the essential, how cheese is essentially made, is separating the curd from the whey. And then with cheddar cheese, an enzyme called rennet is added.
Right.
And so rennet is the enzyme that's responsible for that coagulation that produces the curds.
Yeah, what I tried is that I also experimented. Someone said take whole milk and put it in a pot, and just before it starts to boil, you drop in some lemon juice. And I did that, and all the cheese went to the top and all the liquid went to the bottom, and then I wound up having kind of like fresh cheese, just straining it.
Yeah.
But of course, I didn't age it or do anything. So
right.
I'm getting that you're basically, let's say, you're taking what could be, let's say, mozzarella.
Yes.
But you're taking that and aging it.
Aging it. And there, you know, the... With cheddar, aging it determines how sharp the taste is, so that if it's only aged a short while, it's mild cheddar, and if the longer it's aged, the sharper the taste.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a really special cheese called Cabot Clothbound, and they send wheels of cheddar to be aged in caves in Jasper Hill, Vermont. And Clothbound is sold in usually only in specialty cheese stores and places like Whole Foods, but it has a really hard crumbly texture, almost like Parmigiano Reggiano.
Oh wow!
It's delicious. If you ever get a chance to try that,
well, you're gonna bring it to the game for me to taste. So let me ask you then: what's the difference? Let's say. When you're going into, like, calling it a Monterey Jack, what's the difference between a cheddar and a Monterey Jack?
It's the process by which it is formed and then aged. The Jacks are not aged like cheddar. Monterey Jack is not an aged cheese. It's a young cheese. So
okay.
A lot of the real character of cheddar comes from the aging.
Ah, okay. And then there was
And cheddar, I'm sure you've heard this, but cheddar is the process for making cheddar cheese came to England. And Cabot, ironically, came from England. I'm sorry. So cheddar cheese is essentially English cheese in its origin. But Cabot was the first cheddar cheese to be imported into England.
Wow, look at that.
It's such delicious cheddar that even the English appreciate it.
Even them, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I understand, like, for instance, now Colby is meaning it's a combination of two, isn't it? Colby?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, because I see with the Colby, it's like two different colors.
That's not always true. I mean, I have seen that, but I don't think it's necessarily always true. Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. Colby and Monterey Jack. So Colby Jack.
Yeah. So it's Colby. What do you, in other words, you also there's also a choice of putting in a what makes it orange?
That's simply color. Cheddar. And most cheeses are naturally white. But sometime years and years and years ago, color was added to make it that bright orange color. And that's just, that doesn't have taste. It doesn't make it taste any different. It's just, you know, how foods look are very important to how we perceive them and how we, you know, how our bodies
right.
prepare for them. And a lot of people are used to that color, and they like seeing that color, but it really has no influence at all on how the cheese tastes.
Do you think that the color is because we're so, especially in the United States, when we have American cheese, which is...
Yes.
It's really processed. It's not really whatever. But it's always...
A lot of times it doesn't have the kind of simple, wholesome ingredients that our cheese has, but yeah, and we were used to seeing those colors. I think more and more people are starting to appreciate beautifully made foods and beautifully made cheeses, so they understand that those white cheeses are not lacking anything. If you go into specialty cheese stores, you see the cases laden with these lovely cheeses, and none of them really are bright orange.
Yes, yes, that's something I do notice in when you're going into a cheese shop. You're not getting orange cheeses.
Yeah.
Then there was another one. Oh, that was a great herbal one. The was it tomato and basil?
Tomato and basil.
Wow. That's a great
cheese. Lovely. Yes. Yeah. Another. I don't know if you've tried this, but one of my favorite cabbage cheeses. Hard to say, but one of my favorite is the horseradish. Have you tried that?
No.
Oh, it's very good. Very
oh.
good. We'll see if we can't get you some of that.
Okay, that's fine with me. I'm starting to already get hungry. Oh, but yeah, you know, have people tried? Let's say the one that's the basil and tomato. Have they tried it? Let's say, like putting it on pizza.
Well, you know, it's really fun to experiment with those. Yes, on pizza, in macaroni and cheese, to add, you know, a little more depth of flavor to a macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You can really just have a lot of fun playing with recipes that call for cheddar cheeses, just to put the flavor cheeses in them. I make a really fun macaroni and cheese, and it's perfect for today, Cinco de Mayo. Feliz Cinco de Mayo to everyone.
Oh, yes, it is.
But I make one that has the chipotle cheddar in it and a little salsa and chorizo. So it's it gives it a little extra kick and a little extra color, and, man, is it good.
Mm, that sounds good, too. Throw a little horseradish.
Oh, and the horseradish. Here's a macaroni and cheese that I love. We have a great basic macaroni and cheese recipe on our website, cabotcheese.coop. But I love to make macaroni and cheese with the horseradish cheddar and throw some bacon in it. That's a great combination.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, I'm picturing, okay, here's what I'm picturing. I've made pizza.
Uh-huh.
And the dough, I've used flour and beer. That's
yum!
It.
Yes, that
and
sounds great.
And the beer
great.
Gives just enough to make it rise, because of the yeast.
Yeah.
And then what I do is I bake that, and then, you know, it's nice thin crust, and then I put whatever on top of it. I bake it till it's almost done.
Yeah.
And I throw it back in with whatever I'm putting it on. But I'm just picturing with, you know, while you're doing, you cook the bacon while this is happening.
Yeah.
And then you just put on the cheese with the basil and
the tomato and basil would be yummy.
And just let that melt
onto
there. And then when that's done, just throw on the crumpled bacon on the top.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. Well, and that's the great thing. The other thing, we just, March was National Grilled Cheese Month, so we had lots of different grilled cheeses. But the great thing about these Cabot Cheddars is any of them you can put on a grilled cheese to make it a little special, whether you do the tomato basil or the garlic and herb. Or, you know, the other thing we have that is pretty amazing is we have reduced fat cheeses that have won awards all over the country, and really they cook beautifully. They're one of the few reduced fat products that don't have kind of that real processed taste. And they're delicious. I would encourage anybody who wants to cut a little fat out of their diet to try the Cabot 50% reduced fat, or that we even have a 75% reduced fat. We also have a flavored jalapeno, 50% reduced fat jalapeno cheddar that's
cool,
yummy. Yeah.
And I should, you know what? I should do an experiment with that, with the reduced ones.
I fool people all the time with it, and they never know.
Yeah, really. Because,
yeah,
you know, the only problem with the cheeses are they're high in calorie.
Well, and the great thing about cheese is, you know, I'm all about wonderful, wholesome, natural foods in moderation. You know,
right.
You eat a lot of vegetables. If you have that pizza, you can throw some cheese on it and load it up with veggies and You're good to go health-wise. There's, you know, dairy has a really important place in everyone's diet. You just can't go crazy.
Yeah, right.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah,
and they tell me that's why French women don't get fat, so I'm with that one.
Everything in moderation. I'm supposed to go to a chocolate store in Manhattan to do a tasting.
Oh, poor you.
Yeah,
it's a dirty job, but somebody
twist my arm.
Well, and the beautiful thing about that is that dark chocolate has all these lovely phenols and antioxidants.
Oh, yeah.
That are so good for you.
Well, I understand. Oh, and I'm looking forward to this. I'm going on a press trip. I'm going to Williamsburg.
Virginia?
Yeah, and I'm told that I'm going to go into a store where they make chocolate. And she says to me, but they do it like the real way. I said, you know, you may not like it. I said, wait a minute. Have you ever had chocolate nibs? And she says, yeah. I said, I eat those. Now, what chocolate nibs, do you know what chocolate nibs are?
I don't know what chocolate nibs are.
When chocolate is made, basically, the basic way it's made, you have the cacao beans. And the beans, they're roasted, and then they take off the shells. And then they chop them up into little tiny pieces, and those little tiny pieces are called nibs.
Mm.
And it's the nibs that they take and put it into the vat and, you know, and crunch them, you know, like the way peanuts go into peanut butter.
Right.
So once they go into the vat and doing that, then they start adding, like, the sugar or whatever they have to add to it.
Oh, I see.
But if you're eating nibs, I mean, you're getting totally, like, really pure chocolate.
Practically eating a vitamin pill.
Yeah. You're just eating chocolate with no, it's very bitter, you know. But if you could tolerate it, it's what's really good about it is that, like, if you're really in the mood that you really want some chocolate, if you have, like, 5-6 nibs and chew on them, you're good to go. You've gotten it.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, so to get back with this, so what's going to happen now Saturday? Let's tell everybody what's going on this Saturday.
Yeah.
At the game.
Well, Cabot is going to be at the game, and there will be Cabot sampling, yum, and there will be some fun things during halftime with Frisbees. I understand there are a lot of Frisbees that will be winging their way into the stands with prizes, and it just sounds like it's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah. And from what I get, there's like six of the Frisbees that have a coupon attached, and you get a free, fabulous T-shirt.
That's what my friend Karen Houchins tells me is going to happen. I wish I could be there. I can't wait to see a game.
Oh, now, let's see. Well, you're in Vermont, right?
I'm actually in Maine.
In Maine. There's,
right next door to Vermont.
There is a women's football team in Maine. I can't think of it. If you go on to the...
I'm going on. I'm going to find that thing.
Go on to IWFL.
IWFL
sports.com. You can see, it'll tell you all the teams. And there's one in Maine. Let me see if I could pull this. I'll tell you in a second. IWFL. Here we are.
Let's see.
IWFL sports. And let's see.
Well, there's Boston.
Standing stats teams.
Nemesis is New York. Sharks is New York.
They may be tier two. Let's see. Let's go down here.
Tier two, I see.
Reading.
Binghamton, Connecticut.
Red Hawks, Orland, Mayhem.
Jersey.
Let's see.
I've heard of the Manchester Freedom.
Yeah, Mint, but that's
Manchester, New Hampshire, right?
New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Palm, Louisiana, Wisconsin, Chattanooga, Carolina, Memphis, Carolina. Oh, here, Southern Maine Rebels. That's what they are, the Southern Maine Rebels.
Where did on that team roster, huh?
Go
Southern
to,
Maine Rebels, I see it.
Let's see, catch where they are. Well, we got that they're Southern Maine. That's all we got so far.
Well, that's really good news because I'm okay.
So usually you could tell.
They play at Deering High School, it looks like.
Oh, okay. So you know where that is?
I know exactly where that is. I can't wait to check out their schedule.
Yeah. Oh, it's
that's
something
awesome.
Else. It really is. It's really something else to watch.
Are most of the women who play, are they all ages? Are they
all ages? You can't play until you're 18, and there's no retiring age.
Right.
It's up to them.
Right.
And like on my team, we have women that are in their 40s still playing.
Oh, darn. Probably I'm a little old to be playing.
Well, let's see. I was just commenting that it's funny. I definitely would have wanted to see this. The last game we had played, we were in New Jersey, and I couldn't get there. And I understand Andrew Douglas, the owner, she suited up to play kicker, to be kicker, because I don't remember why she did that. And I went, what? Now, Andrew just turned 51.
Oh, that's awesome.
So she would have kicked. I mean, and which is really... Which is even funnier because while she was playing for the New York Sharks, she was a quarterback. But
wow.
She learned all the kicking, I think, when back when she had learned like rugby.
Uh huh.
So that's
she sounds
you know,
like a heck of an athlete.
Yeah. And this so it's cool. I think this whole thing is a hoot. I really do.
I love what you've done with the Cabot Player of the Week. That is so great to recognize.
Isn't that nice?
Players. Yeah, that it really is. So this week it was Lakeisha Grant. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, we have. That's what we do. That's Steve, and I have to say, that was Steve's idea. Steve is our webmaster. Stephen Mark is
uh-huh.
our webmaster. And he decided to do that. And
it's
I went,
great,
oh,
it's a
what a
great website.
Idea, of course.
Yeah, no, it's
yeah,
a great
and,
website, too.
And at the last game, well, not this past game, but the game before, I gave that person a visor Cappy Creamery visor to
oh,
wear.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we'll see who comes in on Saturday at this one. This
and what time is it Saturday?
The game starts at 3:30, I believe. Yeah.
And they play in Brooklyn.
And it's in Brooklyn, yeah, at the Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn. It's a shame.
And what? How many games in the season?
It's 8 games. And so there's 4 home games and 4 away games.
And how far do they travel generally?
Let me see. I think this season, I don't think we go farther than Washington, D.C., because everybody is in their own, what do you call it? Not bracket. Yeah.
You know, like their
own conference, their own,
right.
You know, and so I think, but we're going to be playing Boston. I don't know whether we're going to Boston or not, but I know we play Boston Militia, and we play the D.C. Divas, which is Washington, D.C.,
yep.
And we play the Pittsburgh Passion. So that's those.
Well,
are the
I have to see the Sharks play. I'll either find you guys in New York, or if you come to Boston to play, I'll drive down to Boston. That would be
well,
great.
Well, let me see if we're going to Boston. I'll tell you in a second. NY Sharks.
Boston at Boston, 6 p.m. it looks like, on the 15th.
Yep, we are.
Wow. I'll figure
now,
out.
Now, I have to tell you, if you go to this game.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be one of the best games of the season.
Really?
Yes. I mean, this is really the game to go to. Because you're talking, now you're definitely talking two teams that you'll never know who's going to win.
Really?
Yes, it's gonna
be. So it won't be a blowout like.
No, not at all. This is no blowout whatsoever. This is a total battle.
Wow, that's great.
And it's been the battle. You know, the New York Boston battle with the baseball.
Of course. Yankees.
It's the same, yes. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
the
wow.
same thing with the football, with the women's football. It's really funny how that happens, but that winds up being the team that we have to beat or
that's
you know,
a classic rivalry, huh?
Well, yeah, well, I think they're also 4-0 right now. Boston's 4-0 too.
Wow, that'll be an incredible game, won't it?
Yeah. So if you're gonna go to,
any
one of them, that's the one to go to.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I'll just figure out where that's gonna be.
Yeah. I let's see. That's on the 15th.
Yeah.
15th. What am I doing? The 16th. No. Oh, look at that. Oh, okay. Oh, I might even be able to get up there and go to the game. I have a press trip the 16th to the 22nd.
You're a busy girl.
Yeah, I am.
I watched your video on YouTube. I loved it.
And then you know about Esther the Rubber Chicken? Have you seen my blogs?
I haven't.
Oh, you should go to my blog site. My blog site's a lot of fun because I have.
That's Merle's World, right?
Well, if you go into my main website and you'll click on, you'll see some blog.
And I've got your blog's the Ketubah for Yuba. And
oh, yeah. He's going to be on, as a matter of fact, he'll be on very soon.
Michael Shapiro,
To talk about the Ketubah. But on the, on the blogs, I love it because I don't have to know how to do, like, web talk, you know, web language.
Yeah.
And I could put videos and photos and, like, anything I want on there. It's just, like, easier for me than the website. And then my website is where I like to just put basically all the articles that I do for people to look at because it's always – you know, like, well, do you have any clips? Just go to my website. Go look at the clips. I'm not sending you clips. You can go to my website.
No, the blogging is great. I have a blog as well at CandiceCarew.com. So if anybody wants to check that out.
Oh, sure. And you just so we know, Candice Carew, spell it K.
C-A-N-D-A-C-E-K-A-R-U.
Okay. some people can check. Do you blog about
I blog about food and fitness and
oh yeah,
all kinds of stuff. Oh, great,
yeah.
Recipes and I also write a
I have then I have something to tell you that you
yay?
That you'd probably love to try. It's funny because I just told somebody in the store to try this. Have you ever had a company called Food for Life?
No.
Well, they have, one of the things that they have is a pasta called Ezekiel Pasta.
Oh, I know Ezekiel brand. So they have amazing brands, too.
Oh, you know what? I got to tell you, I'm getting, and I know what's going on. The guy who's supposed to call in is calling me on my home phone.
Oh, goodness.
So,
did you go?
So just, no, just. Talk to my audience
I'll
for a minute.
Talk to them about Cabot because that's
yeah. Go ahead,
love.
Go talk.
I'll
hang
do
on
that.
A second.
Yeah. So, folks, if you're interested in amazing recipes, really great recipes of all kinds, healthy recipes, indulgent recipes, definitely head over to CabotCheese.coop. If you put in .com, you'll get there too, but it's CabotCheese.coop. And go to the recipe page. We do a featured recipe that changes regularly. And then if you're looking for something special, just drop what you're looking. Today I searched for fish tacos on the Cabot website for Cinco de Mayo. And
I'm back.
Came up with, hi.
Oh, I'm back.
I was just chatting with your friend.
Yeah, it's okay.
My new friend.
Yeah. He's calling in now. Thank goodness. Okay, so he realized he has to call in and not my home phone number. But anyway, yeah, so try the Ezekiel, if you haven't tried I know the bread. You know the bread, right?
I know the bread, but I haven't tried the pasta.
Yes, they have this. And the pasta's so great because it's the same thing the way the bread is. I mean,
it's the whole wheat and the natural ingredients.
The natural ingredients, the berries, whatever they are, and
yeah.
It's just and it's pasta. So
that's wonderful. Thank you for that tip. I'm going to go try it right away because I'm, you know, it's hard to find delicious pastas that are also good for you. So that's.
I found it, by the way. I found it at Stop and Shop.
Oh, good. Good to know.
As opposed to, you know, I'm sure you can get it at health food stores, but I found it Stop and Shop.
Good to know.
And it's really good. You can make a macaroni and pasta with that one.
Absolutely.
Cheese and pasta with that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, so let me, this poor guy's calling in.
You have a great time with your next guest.
Yes.
I love talking to you. I'll talk to you anytime.
Sure.
And I'm gonna follow your blog.
Okay.
All right. So I'll see you at a Sharks game, huh?
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Okie doke. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Oh, yes. Yeah. So remember, anybody who wants to come to Saturday's game, yes, there'll be samples of Cabot Creamery cheese. But now we're going to talk about something completely, totally different, having nothing to do with food at all. Thank you. Goodness, because I really want to eat after talking to everybody about food. We're talking about a ketubah? No, it has nothing to do. It's not a musical instrument. Michael, tell everybody what it is.
Hi, Merle. So, what a great introduction. I'm smiling already from ear to ear. So a ketubah is the Jewish marriage document, and it goes, the traditional text goes back about 2,000 years, which was the time that the document was put down in writing. And the word ketubah comes from the Hebrew word for written, because in biblical times there would have been a verbal marriage agreement of some sort, and way back when in Jewish tradition we started to put it down in writing. Going back a little more recently, about 1,000 years ago, artisans started to make these documents into a form of art.
Yeah.
So the ketubah is an artistic marriage document. Traditionally, it has a religious legal significance, but it's evolved significantly so that all sorts of couples are getting a ketubah these days, either as a traditional document or as an affirmation of their love.
Cool. So was this something, okay, so this goes back to, like, was this the kind of thing that was used originally as a document when you got married?
Yes, it was. And in fact, when it in the early days, this was a revolutionary document for its time, because one of the main things that it did is it provided for financially for the woman in the case that her husband were to die or in the case that they were to become divorced. And this is, of course, you know, going back 2,000 years when, you know, a woman on her own could very easily become destitute if she weren't without a man.
Whoa. It's a good thing. Wow.
And so for its times, it was a real revolution. It's also
significant
that in, you know, Jewish tradition, the divorce is something that has, you know, been allowed for in circumstances where the marriage just doesn't work out. And that goes way back as well.
Wow. Look at that. So what's happened, am I guessing that that you started having, like, artists, like,
yes,
decide that it,
yes,
should be more than just...
Yes. Well, but basically what happened was, when my parents got married in the 60s, the rabbi just gave them a piece of paper that had the document on it. So at that time, the ketubah as an art form had died out. The last century or so, leading up till around the 70s, when couples got married, the rabbi just gave them a piece of paper. Starting in the 70s, some American Judaic artists started to bring back the ketubah as an art form. And fast forward a few years later to the mid-90s, there were numbers of artists in the States and in Canada and Israel and other countries as well who were making custom ketubahs for an individual couple. Typically, it would be something where the couple would talk about their tastes or interests or perhaps where they had met, and the artist would illustrate, put an illustration around the text that was appropriate for that couple. And these were beautiful, but as you can imagine, somewhat expensive because it would take hours and hours and hours for the artist to complete them. Fast forward a little bit further to as I started to mention, in the mid-90s, many of these artists had found that there were couples who weren't interested or didn't have the budget for a custom ketubah, but they'd be real interested in a nicely executed print.
Right.
So there were artists who were making limited edition prints of ketubahs, and there were couples who wanted them, but the couples were having a hard time finding the artists and vice versa. And that's where Ketubah came in. In 1996, I started this business with the intention of bringing together artists and couples who were looking for fine art ketubahs. And it just so happened that right around that time, the internet was starting to become known as something that was commercially, somewhere that people might start to look to browse or possibly even make a purchase. And our first website went online at ketubah.com, ketubah.com, on July 1st, 1996. So we're coming up on 14 years online.
Wow.
And just to put that in perspective, that's a year before the domain name google.com was registered.
Wow. So now, let me ask you, in the ketubahs, I mean, we'll also go into the other thing with the blessing for the home, but in the ketubahs themselves, do they all basically say the same thing, and then, like, at the bottom you fill in, you know, the names or things like that? Or what, I guess you're filling in the names and who witnessed,
yeah,
or things like that?
Excellent question.
Yeah.
One of the other things that was happening during the period I mentioned, when artists were starting to make first one-off ketubahs and then limited edition prints, is that they also started to make the ketubahs with a variety of texts. Some couples would be looking for the traditional text, which is the one that goes back about 2,000 years, but other couples who, for example, perhaps weren't Orthodox Jews, they might be looking for a different text that the conservative Jewish movement had come up with, or the Reform movement. Or for that matter, couples are starting to write their own texts. So today, you know, we offer, you know, approaching 800 different designs on our site, and most of them come with a dozen different text options or more.
Oh, wow.
So the process these days is the couple will find a design that they like and then order it with a text that they like. And typically, I should just mention as well, is that typically they're, you know, we highly encourage that they run the text by the rabbi or the person officiating at the wedding, because it just ensures smooth sailing on wedding day to make sure everyone's on the same page, literally, about the sort of text that they've chosen.
So, but people, can people write their own texts as well?
People can write their own text. A text that is written by an individual wouldn't necessarily have the halachic or religious legal significance that an Orthodox or traditional text would have. But many couples will just like writing their own text. There are also some who will have a traditional text in the Hebrew but write their own text for the English.
Got it. Oh, I see. In other words, what's in Hebrew, and then not necessarily the in other words, you'll see two translations.
Well, typically, if a couple orders if they're looking for, say, an Orthodox text, the English isn't usually a translation of it because it sounds very legalistic, and you know, typically they would prefer to have an English text that's a little more poetic, a little bit about their wishes for.
Right.
Their aspirations to support each other in their, you know, physical, spiritual, emotional growth, and that sort of thing. So typically, the ketubah only has one Hebrew text and one English text. If the Hebrew text is a traditional one, the English is usually not a translation of it. But if someone's chosen a more contemporary or egalitarian text, usually the English is a translation of the Hebrew.
Oh, that's really interesting. And so. Now, I want to go into the other thing about the blessing for the home. So for anybody who's like still interested in this but isn't married.
Absolutely. So on our website, at ketubah.com, I mentioned that we've got 800 ketubah designs. 200 of those 800 designs are designs that we carry exclusively, and any of those can be ordered as a home blessing. And the way that works is the home blessing is like, it's like a smaller version of the ketubah art, and at the center, instead of having wording around the ketubah document, it would be a blessing for the home, typically in Hebrew and English, but it's possible also to get it in Hebrew only or English only. And they're lovely. They're also very reasonably priced. They're fine art limited edition prints that are, start at $75. As compared to with the ketubahs, it started about $100 to $150, with most of them in the $200 to $300 range.
Oh, okay.
So for the home blessing, you know, you're looking at a fine art piece at about
$5. Sure. And just so for people who want to know what the home blessing is, and I have it up here on my in front of me. In case you, I put it up. I took a photograph of the one that I got, and then put it up on my blog site.
Oh, great.
And then when you click onto it on my blog site,
yes.
Like the photo enlarges so you can read everything.
Oh, that's great. I'll have to check that out.
So what it says for people, and by the way, first I'll say what the blessing says. It says, let no sorrow pass through this gate. Let no trouble enter this abode. Let alarm never come through this door. Let this household never be divided. Let there be blessing and peace in this home. And the reason that I'm purposely saying that is that if someone isn't, what this is great for, if someone who's not even Jewish would, this is a nice thing to have anyway, because you're not, it's not religious what you're saying, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, you have Hebrew lettering, that's, okay, so it's Hebrew, but the words themselves, not religious.
Absolutely. And look, the sentiments are universal, and also even, you know, the Hebrew language, of course, is the language of the Hebrew Bible, or, you know, referred to by, you know, in Christian circles as the Old Testament, and so
right.
There's a shared heritage there in terms of
sure. By the way, the website, just to make sure we get that in again.
Sure. The website is ketubah.com, and it's K-E like Edward, T-U-B like boy, A-H, K-E-T-U-B-A-H.com.
Okay. And really, it's like it's nice. It's a nice piece of art to have. It's and I understand you can get it also in like this. You can have it canvas.
That's
as well.
Right. That's right. And there's also the option with the home blessing to send us your own blessing or your own text. If anything in a Word document, English only, English and Hebrew, even English in a different language, we could put it in. We could put it into the home blessing design, and you would have then something that was a lovely piece of art with the exact wording that you chose.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, that's great. So, I'm thinking about people who would want this in their home. That much were going through my head. Now, I the other thing I want to kind of like get in is, as I met you at the Gay Expo, for short, as I call it, the Gay Expo, the LGBT, GLBTQ, LGBTQ, STUVWXYZ, whatever, how many letters, it's gaining letters, anyway.
Absolutely.
But, you were there because, well, now that there is, I don't know how many states. It's terrible for someone who's gay. I don't keep up with anything. But there's six states, I think. Is this six states in it?
I know that numbers of states have it. I know a number of provinces in Canada have it. We were there because we've had numbers of gay and lesbian customers over the years, and
mm-hmm.
this is an opportunity really to just make it known more widely. And it's interesting the range of customers that we've had. We've of course had customers where both partners were Jewish. We've had interfaith couples, both straight couples and gay couples, who are interested, in this tradition.
Right.
We've even had some customers where neither person is Jewish, whether they're straight or gay, who love the idea of having a piece of fine art that they choose together. That gets signed by themselves and by witnesses at the wedding ceremony, and then is framed prominently in their home as probably one of the most lasting mementos of their very special day and all their hopes and dreams that they had on that day.
Yeah, it sounds great. Then there's nothing. Is there anything? Because I didn't look at any of the wording. Is there anything in the marriage ketubas that says male female says that?
In the traditional text, there will be reference to the chatan, which is the groom, and the kala, which is the bride. In some of the contemporary egalitarian text, it just mentions the couple's names.
Okay, so it doesn't have to refer to bride-groom. But although, I mean, there are same-sex couples who say bride-groom, who do that, you know. better just the names.
Exactly. We're not in the business of telling people what to do or how to lead their lives or how to connect with Jewish tradition. What we're here to do is to help people to do that in a way that's meaningful for them.
Sure.
And express their love in a way that's personal to them.
You know, I'll tell you, I just realized one of the places, if you really want to sell, now it's, you have to wait till toward the end of the year. At around at Yom Kippur, but I don't know if it's that day. Anyway, they do services in New York, and it's not a gay service. I mean, there's a gay synagogue that sponsors this whole thing. And I guess what had happened was that where it started in the synagogue got to be so big they have to go to Jacob Javits Center to hold this. And you have not just gay couples. You have everybody who's supportive. You have like couples that are, one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, and things like that, because it's Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I believe, they even have, two sessions, one session being that they're, all they're doing is dealing with, because of AIDS, you know, so they're dealing with mourning,
yeah,
that part. But there's like numbers of people, and there's, oh, that's the great opportunity, but if it wasn't that it's on Yom Kippur that you can't be there and get there, drive or take a plane or whatever.
Thank you. Thank you for that idea.
Yeah, but that's a fabulous, that's really a good group to.
Thank you, Meryl.
And they're probably all sentimental at the time. But that's, I remember I went there a number of years ago. I was very surprised. And because what happens, because it's done the way it's done, the rabbi is a female, and unless they changed it, in terms of all the prayers, they never use God as being male or female either. I forgot what they use. I mean, that's very, if you think about it, it's very hard even when we're conversing about somebody.
Yes.
We tend to use,
yes,
he anyway.
Yes.
Even if it could be a she, you,
yes,
know, that kind of a thing. And I should go again because I'm more curious about what word they were using. Okay, but anyway, just kind of to get back to sum up on this.
Yeah.
So, but you and I are going to talk like next week about some other stuff anyway, because I got to get this into the. I'll write up an article in the newspapers about it. But again, as it boils down to not just sentiment; it's artwork.
Absolutely, for couples who are getting married, or for that matter, those celebrating an anniversary, because we also,
yes,
do make these for anniversaries. What there is to do is to, you know, go to our website at ketubah.com, browse through the gorgeous designs that range from traditional to contemporary to photographic, you know, beautiful close-ups on, you know, flowers, that sort of thing, just find one that calls to them. Choose a text they like, and then it's all very easy to do. It's all placed online. If you have any questions, we have real live, friendly, and helpful people at the end of our toll-free number, which is 1-888-538-8224. But the website is really the place to start, and they can see close to 800 designs, of which 200 are exclusive. You won't find them anywhere else other than at ketubah.com.
Great. Well, it was fabulous talking with you, Michael. And it's kind of like it's hard to really get this, like, to talk about this on the radio. It's like,
yeah,
to be seen. You have to see it to really get a sense of it. I'm gonna try to get that photo up on my description of the show too.
That's great.
If people go to my blog,
if you're able to get a link from your blog to our site, that will help people to get to us as well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Great.
Well, all right. Thanks again, Michael.
Pleasure.
Looks like the show's going to end pretty soon anyway.
Okay.
And I'm getting hungry from all the talking I did about food. I guess I'll talk to you like next week or so, right?
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks, Merle.
All right, you're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, I'll put the link, although I guess if we go, like, it's ketubah.com, K-E-T. Well, I have it in the description on my radio show, K-E-T-U-B-A-H. If you go, again, go to my blog site. Well, if you go to my website, which is Merle's World, which is M-E-R-L-E-S, as in Sam, W-H-I-R-L-S, as in Sam, .com, you can find the links to my blog site and the YouTube site, the radio, and all that goodies. So what I'm going to do is Because, all right, I'll end a little early instead of playing another song. Oh, wait, one more sponsor.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay, if I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah. I wish I had another one. I got to get one for AirTran because I want to put these are my two favorite airlines. I mean, if I could just travel AirTran and JetBlue, I'd be very happy because I'm going to be taking AirTran. And the thing I like, one of the things I like about AirTran is I tend to fly business class on there. It's because a lot of times, like there are times that I like have to go away for a whole week, which is what's going to happen, and then I got to put bags under, and if it between being comfortable. More comfortable on a seat because it's almost like first class kind of seating, and the cost of otherwise putting bags under and all that. It's just nice, really comfortable, great ride. As for the both of them, I mean, I have found both JetBlue and AirTran to be pretty much like on time and stuff, and they're both great airlines, but I think that's the next one I do is, I believe it's in AirTran, which will be in sometime in June. Anyway, so I'm going to end now, and so I'm going to end. I know you won't be able to distinguish it, but that was actually Eunice. That's Eunice's. Okay. She's not the nicest one of all, but Eunice is Esther's twin sister. You'll pretty much start seeing her on my blog site soon, and you'll understand what I mean about she's not so nice, but it is her twin sister, and I invited her here. Esther saw her picture on an egg carton, and we called up the Rubber Chicken Forest at Twisted Oak Winery in California, and Eunice got sent to us, so she's here for the duration. And with that, I will sign off. I don't know when I'm doing the next show. Probably next week, I guess. I'm trying to keep up. I just get so busy sometimes. You know what I mean? But anyway, so goodbye, everybody. And see you at the area at the next show. Goodbye. Goodbye.